All right, so we're going to chase our same theme here for today, okay? The theme that we've started in our morning Bible studies, and if you weren't there, it was the theme of contentment. And we were in 1 Corinthians 7, I believe, and looking through that there as it relates to a marriage relationship and different things. For our time together, we're going to be in Ecclesiastes chapter 8. So if you'd like to go ahead and turn there, that'd be great. All right, we'll be there in just a minute. So the text is in your bulletin. It's on the wall. And if you have the full Bible, Old and New Testament, you'll find it there in your Old Testament. Just about 12 chapters, a small little book, just about in the middle of the Old Testament. So we'll be there in just a minute, but I'd kind of like to talk through where we're headed today. So the title of this thought this morning is The Joy of the Meaningless. The Joy of the Meaningless. And so as we begin, I just want to ask you a question, and you can respond if it's true or not for your life. Have you ever been in a position where you felt like your life had no meaning? Did it ever just hit you like, I'm doing all this stuff, but for what purpose? Like, I just don't even understand why I'm doing what I'm doing. Maybe you found yourself there before. Or maybe you've looked around the world and see all these things that happen, and you go, man, that's just pointless. There's really no purpose to that. Have you ever asked that question? What's the point? What's the point in all this? Is there a point to things that seem to be meaningless? Typically, when I think, what's the point, it's not coming from a position of joy. Is it for you? When I think that my life is not mattering, if that's a word, if it doesn't matter, then I'm not all happy about it. I'm not all filled or satisfied or content that way. But what we're looking at today is there can be, and there is supposed to be, joy in the meaningless. Things that stir us to joy, even though it may seem to be meaningless. So I want to kind of illustrate this with a game that we played here. And so, you know, I said some games are fantastic and some are fatal. So we'll see how that goes here this morning. All right, I'm not going to ask you to play the game. We played this game at camp called Blind Dodgeball. And it is a new Camp Hope classic game. So what you do, you divide your team in half, and half the team gets a blindfold, and the other half are the people who can see. And the job of the people who can see is to direct those who cannot see to play the game. So you've got to direct them. They can't see anything, so you've got to direct them to go pick up a ball. You've got to direct them to walk. You've got to tell them which direction to throw, tell them when to throw, tell them when to duck, tell them when to run, tell them when to whatever. And so this was an awesome game to watch. Because what happened was there would be people who were lined, and they can't see anything. And they were like lined up, like if this is the people they're supposed to be throwing at, they were lined up this way. And they would wind up and just throw the ball as hard as they possibly could at nobody, you know. And then everybody'd start laughing. You were close. All right, try it again. But what was really funny about it were the people who were trying to guide them, because they kept pointing. You know, it's right there. Go get the ball. It's right there. Go that way. No, that way. And so they're just trying to point blind people. And when it finally clicked with them, they would just lose it. I mean, they just cracked up laughing. They're like, you can't see my hands, can you? And we're yelling at them the whole time. They can't see your hands. And when it clicked, it was funny to watch, because they would all start laughing. Like, no, they can't see my hands. All right? So that's a game. But there is joy in the meaningless, right? When somebody's throwing a ball at nobody and everybody laughs, it's funny. It's really funny. There was a couple times where there were two guys at the end of the game about this far apart, and they were lined up with the ball, ready to unload. And so I'm sitting there just like, this is not going to end well. I mean, because these are big boys, and they're getting ready to chuck these balls as hard as they can, and both of them missed. And so thank you, Lord. But it would have been pretty cool to watch, I'm sure. But some of that stuff is just like meaningless, but there's joy in it. There's satisfaction, there's contentment in it. So I know that's a game, and I know it's hard to parallel a game like that to real life. But can there be joy? Can there be contentment even when life is a struggle? Can we find purpose and significance even in the things that are meaningless? Solomon's going to try to tell us today that we can't. So Ecclesiastes chapter 8 is where we're going to run here this morning. Most people believe that Solomon was the guy who wrote this little book. A lot of just hints here. Nobody comes out at the beginning and says, you know, this is the oracles of Solomon, the wisest man to ever live. But just the way it's written, some of the references make us think that it was Solomon. So we're going to give credit to Solomon here this morning anyway. So if we could give a main theme to this book, though, it would be this: our fruitless search for contentment in the meaningless. Our fruitless search, or our empty searching for contentment in things that are meaningless. So throughout this little book, Solomon over and over again, he says all sorts of things are meaningless. 28 times he'll say under the sun. So he uses the reference under the sun, under the sun. So under the sun means everything on this planet, everything in this life. Under the sun, everything is meaningless. And so here's some of the things that he mentions as being meaningless. And we may not say it that way, but he's trying to tell us so. Solomon says money is meaningless. Anybody agree? Money is meaningless. What about health? Having good health, totally meaningless. What about beauty? Some of us have beauty. Some of you have beauty, rather. Is that meaningless? A lot of people spend a lot of money trying to make themselves be beautiful. Solomon says things like beauty are meaningless. What about fame? What about being well known? Is that meaningless? What about having a good job, a career, a profession? Making a good name for yourself, being a good worker, having a good position. Solomon would say that was meaningless. Alcohol, meaningless. Pleasure, meaningless. Even wisdom, he says, is meaningless when it's viewed as only under the sun. Remember last week we used, that illustration with the gold rope? We had this long rope and we couldn't see the end of it. And about on one end that I had right here, there was some duct tape. And that tape represented our life today. The gold represented eternity. And so Solomon's just saying it a different way. He's saying everything under the sun is that tape. So we need to be thinking where? We need to think over the sun. And so let that gold rope, again, influence how we're living and thinking here. So what gives purpose and meaning to anything in this life is something over the sun. If all we're chasing is what's under the sun, we'll never find contentment. You'll never find contentment in money, in a relationship, in what people think of you, in a good job, in beauty, pleasure, wisdom. You'll never find contentment in things under the sun if that's the end goal. And so he's trying to get us to focus over the sun. So let's go here. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. And we're going to read verses 14 down to the end of that chapter. He's going to list here another vanity. So some of your translations will say vanity. Some of them may translate it meaningless. I'm trying to illustrate the same point. He says here in verse 14, there's a vanity which occurs on earth, that there are just men to whom it happens according to the work of the wicked. And so just people are getting the results of the wicked, or so it would seem. Again, there are wicked men to whom it happens according to the work of the righteous. And so wicked people are being blessed. I said this is also vanity. And so I commended enjoyment, because a man has nothing better under the sun than to eat, drink, and be merry. For this will remain with him in his labor all the days of his life, which God gives him under the sun. There's that phrase, under the sun. God gives him under the sun. Verse 16, when I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the busyness that is done on earth, even though one sees no sleep day or night. So he says, I'm looking to try to understand everything that's done on earth like a restless man. Verse 17, then I saw all the work of God. And here's what I saw. A man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. For though a man labors to discover it, yet he will not find it. Moreover, though a wise man attempts to know it, he will not be able to find it. And so what Solomon's saying there, there's no rhythm to the working of God. You can't just say this plus this will equal this. Some people try to sell it that way. Read your Bible, go to church, be a good person, and you get a good job. Pray, and you have more money than you need. Serve somebody, and you'll always be healthy. And it doesn't necessarily work that way, right? And so Solomon's trying to outline some things here. There's some things we just can't know. There's not a mathematical equation to do this plus this, and you get that. It is something in his eyes that was vanity. So I want to look at today, then, how can we find contentment in the things that are meaningless? How can we find contentment in the things that are meaningless? Because we've been designed, we've been built to enjoy things. We've been built to enjoy life. And so let's look together here this morning, if you're following along, three things that we'll try to enjoy as it relates to this text. The first thing he says is this: contentment comes as you and I enjoy our life. Contentment comes as you and I enjoy our life. So right here in our text, Solomon states for us one of the meaningless things that he had found as he tried to seek out all things under the sun. And it seems like in his mind, he thought that those who lived right should be blessed, and those who lived wrong should be cursed, and those who followed God should be approved by God, and that should be noticeable, and then those who didn't follow God should be disapproved by God, and that should be noticeable. Right? So all the blessings should belong to those who love God, and all the struggle should belong to those who don't. Is that how it works out? No. And so as a side note, what we should see here is this: God's revealing to us that the things that matter the most are not in this world. If the things of this world mattered the most, then those who were following God would be blessed with everything that matters. Why would all the wicked prosper? Why would God give all blessing of this world to people who hate him if these things truly matter? And so what he says, this stuff really doesn't matter. We've got to have an over-the-sun kind of mindset. And so he's going to say, contentment comes as we just seek to enjoy our life. Let's go back to verse 14. Let's read this here. And so here again he's saying, there is something else meaningless that occurs on earth: the righteous who get what the wicked deserve, and the wicked who get what the righteous deserve. This too, I say, is meaningless. And so here he's telling us two different things. The first thing is this: just because somebody has health, just because somebody has a good job, just because somebody has a good family, just because it seems like things are going somebody's way, does not mean they have the favor or approval of God. And just because somebody's life is a struggle, and just because their health stinks, and just because they've had to work dead-end job after dead-end job just to make ends meet, doesn't mean God was against them. So he's making it clear here that there are some things that are meaningful, some things that matter, but it's not necessarily in the blessing. It's in the enjoyment of the life. And so here's the second thing he's going to say as he learns through this process, under that number one still yet. The first thing: just because you're blessed doesn't mean you're approved. Just because you struggle doesn't mean you're disapproved. The second thing he learns in that process is that this is what brings contentment. This is what truly brings contentment. So verse 15, here's what it is that brings contentment. The first part of that verse says, so I commend, what does he commend? The enjoyment of life. The enjoyment of life. So here he's saying, here is where contentment is found. It's found when you and I simply enjoy our lives. That's to say that we enjoy our God-given place in this world. This is God's lot for me. This is God's plan for me. And so I look at what God has for me, and I enjoy my place. I enjoy my work in his plan, rather than looking around at what other people are doing and desiring something different. See, when my focus becomes others, then I quickly become discontent. When my focus becomes your new car, your big house, your fat salary, whatever it might be, when I'm pursuing that, then I'm quickly going to become discontent. Because what I'm trying to sell myself is this: the only way I'll be content is when? Is when I get what you have. So when I get that house and I'm able to pay the bills and I'm able to go take vacations all year long, when I can retire at 40, then I'll be happy. Then I'll be content. And Solomon says, no, that's not how it works. Enjoy the life, the lot, the place, the purpose where God has blessed you, where God has put you. So it's important for us then to look up and be thankful rather than to look around and just be dissatisfied. So God has given us a beautiful gift in life, has he not? And we probably would say it's not everything that I thought or wanted or desired that it would be, but I have a life and I have a place in God's plan. And so don't get dissatisfied with life. Rather look for ways to enjoy your life. For me, I could say it this way. Let's try to illustrate it. I have several friends locally here who are pastors of large churches, 1,000 people or greater. And so if that's what I desired, then today would I be content or discontent? I would be miserable, right? And what I'd say to myself is, the only way I'll be happy is when I get to that point. So I'm going to work hard, and I'm going to invest hard, I'm going to pray hard, I'm going to study hard, and my purpose is to reach what they've got. Now, don't misunderstand me. We're chasing with everything we've got. I'm doing everything that I know to do. All right? And we're trusting the Lord to give His increase. God didn't tell me to build it. Jesus said He would build it, right? God told us to plant, to sow, to water, to cultivate, and He's the one who would grow it and give it the increase. Whether that happens here or not, in my mind, is totally irrelevant. I'm not trying to build Peace Church. I'm not trying to build Corey's kingdom. We're trying to build God's kingdom. And so if that means through our efforts another church grows here, that's just family, right? The church down the road is not our enemy. That's our forever brothers and sisters. We better get to learning how to love them, do life with them, because we're going to spend forever with them. And so we're all on the same team. So I don't define myself, and I learned this early on, thankfully, by those types of numbers. Because the truth of the matter is, what these guys struggle with is pride. We're doing something right. It's rolling well, and so it's kind of hard to be humble in that situation. And the other end is, if all it is about numbers and you're struggling, then you might say, then I'm totally discouraged. I'm always beat down, and what am I doing wrong? And I can't ever seem to just have this little pity party. So you can't play that game. And so it's to enjoy your lot. Don't look for greener pastures. I wish I could remember the line in the front of your Fusion book. It said something about it's greener right here than it is over there. So just look right where you are, because this is where God has planted you. This is where He's placed you. Do your work here and enjoy it. Find your contentment and satisfaction where God has put you. There's a story also told of a guy who is an industrialist. He had built a very well-known business, lots of employees, lots of locations. In his world, that brought lots of cash. And so one day he was on a vacation, and he was walking down a beach, and there was a guy who had beached his boat, sitting next to his boat, just kind of taking in the ocean. And he was a fisherman. So this businessman, this industrialist, walks up to this guy and he says, "Hey, why aren't you out there fishing?" And the fisherman says, "Well, I've been out fishing already and I've caught enough fish for this day." And the businessman says, "Yeah, but you still got a whole day left. Why don't you go out and fish some more and catch some more than you need? Or more than you need." And the fisherman said, "Well, what would I do with more than I need?" And he said, "Well, you could go earn some more money. You could go sell those and earn more money." "Okay, so I've got more money. Then what I'm going to do?" "Well, then you could buy a bigger net, a better net. And you could buy a better boat that would let you go further and fish deeper. So you could bring in more fish. And then you could bring those in and you could sell those and give you more money. And then you could buy more boats. And with more boats, you could hire more people. And with more people, and you could just keep building all of this empire, this fishing empire." And so this fisherman thought about it for a minute, and he looked at that guy and he said, "Well, then what would I do?" He said, "Well, then you could just sit down and enjoy life like me." He said, "What do you think I'm doing right now? What do you think I'm doing right now?" Now, don't misunderstand me. Drive is God-honoring. Initiative is God-honoring. To be compelled to give our best, to do our best, is God-honoring. He's not promoting laziness. What he's saying is, you will not find contentment in bigger boats, more employees, more money. You'll find contentment in your current lot. Work hard today where you're planted. Enjoy your life. Enjoy your life. Man, I'm having to remind myself of that quite often. Not because I think my life is difficult, it's because my life passes so fast. I feel like I'm jumping from appointment to appointment. I'm doing this project and got this one done. Now it's time to do this project, and it's like, where do you find time just to stop and just enjoy today? Enjoy right now. It's 11:40. Enjoy your church family. Enjoy the truth of God's word. Enjoy where God has connected you. We're perfect? No. But enjoy it. Be thankful for it. Be satisfied and content with our role. Solomon says here, contentment comes initially as we enjoy our life. So it doesn't come in more. It will never come in more. It always comes as we do our part in God's plan. Let's go to the second point here this morning. Contentment comes as we enjoy our life. It's also going to come as we enjoy our labor. As we enjoy our labor. Those two words seem to be opposites for some people, right? Work, joy. Labor, contentment. Toil, satisfaction. For some, those seem to be two polar opposite points. See, there are some in this world who believe the best way to go about life is to do nothing and get everything. Do nothing and get everything. All right? So if I have the ability to work and I'm unwilling to work, yet I want to just receive all the benefits, I may think, hey, I've taken advantage of a system. The truth of the matter is, I'm really robbing myself of some of the greatest contentment on this planet. Some of the greatest contentment you'll ever experience is in hard work. We have been built to work. We have not been built to be lazy. God has created us to toil, to labor from the very beginning. He gave Adam a job. And I believe in heaven we're all going to have jobs. We're going to be working people because we find contentment there. We find satisfaction in the toil. Let's go back to verse 15 here for just a second. Solomon had just said, I saw something else that's meaningless. The wicked are being blessed like the righteous, and the righteous are being treated like the wicked. I don't understand it. It's meaningless. And then verse 15 says, so here's what I'm commending. I commend, enjoy your life, because there's nothing better for a person under the sun, than to eat and drink and be glad. Then joy will accompany them where? In their toil. What will accompany them? What accompanies us? What's that verse say? Then this will accompany us in our toil. Joy. Joy will accompany us as we work. Joy will accompany us as we labor. So as we enjoy our life, fulfilling our role where God has placed us, and we work hard with all we've got, we will find joy in our labor. It's meaningful. It brings satisfaction. There is a contentedness when I work hard. And I hope that you understand that. I hope that you have that kind of ethic. I hope you understand that you've been built to work. You've been designed to give your very best, just as I have. See, money does not accompany our toil, at least not most importantly. Some people work hard and make $10 an hour. Other people work hard and make $10 a second. Both people are working hard. And so the $10 an hour guy can go, man, I need his job so I can have the payday. And Solomon's saying, it's not about the cash. Contentedness does not come in the payday or in the payoff. Contentedness comes when you realize there's joy in your work. Rather than looking at it as a dead end or drudgery or I hate my job, I don't like my boss, I don't like being a kid at this point. This is where God has you for today. Where to work hard in that moment. The payoff is never the cash. Right? The payoff is never the cash. Benjamin Franklin said it this way. Being content makes poor men rich. Being content makes poor men rich. Being discontent makes rich men poor. You can have the world and be totally unsatisfied. And we can just kind of struggle along and have deep contentment. See, we've been built to work and to enjoy that work rather than see it as drudgery. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 5:10. Ben Franklin said that. Here's what Solomon says about money. He says, whoever loves money never has what? Never has enough. You ever been there? I don't mean at a place where you didn't have enough money. I mean where you felt like you just needed more. My needs are met, but I just need more money. What would you do with more money? I don't know. I'd probably buy more stuff that I don't need. And then I'd go rent one of these storage places over here to store the stuff that I spent my money on, which I didn't need, until the day I need it, I guess. I don't know how that works out. Whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. And so here again, he tells us this is vanity, or this too is meaningless. So then where's the payoff? Where's the payoff? Is it when you make the deposit and you see the numbers start to trickle over in your account? You're like, never. Easy come, easy go. Right? This morning I woke up, put the girls in the truck, hit it with the key. Nada. Nothing. And I drove it home from here last night about 7:30. Ran fine. I have no idea what happened. So we're going to have to figure it out. And it's probably going to involve a little green, right? So I don't put my hope in that stuff. I work hard to earn some of that so that I can take care of needs. Like, that's what it's for. Take care of those kind of things, and also to invest in things that matter forever, but I don't live for that, right? The payoff is never in the cash. The joy is in the labor. So think about it for a minute. Haven't you ever been working hard and you checked out of your office, or you punched out, or you clocked out, and you got home, and maybe you're tired, but you just felt good about yourself? Even if you didn't get everything done that day that you were trying to get done. I was focused, I worked hard, I gave it my best. There's something satisfying about working hard. And when you get outside and you mow your yard and you trim your shrubs and you pull your weeds, or when you students are doing your schoolwork and you work hard and you set your pencil down, you close your book, there's something gratifying. There's something that brings contentment when we work hard. It's because we've been built to work that way. And when we slouch and when we're lazy and when we don't work hard, then we're never satisfied, because we think all the things under the sun are what we need to bring satisfaction. When what we have will bring it. Work hard. If you can walk, work hard. If you can lift your arm, work hard. If you can think, work hard. And you'll find a deeper satisfaction than you've ever found in anything this world offers. There's something prideful, something good prideful about working hard. And so Solomon says here, you'll enjoy your toil. You'll enjoy your labor. So live to enjoy your life. And then you'll find contentment. Live to enjoy your labor. And then you and I will find contentment. And then here, third and last this morning. To find contentment, let's enjoy our Lord. Contentment comes as we enjoy our Lord. See, Solomon tells us that God has given us our lot. Right? That verse 15 ends by telling us that everything under the sun is meaningless, but God has placed us here in this meaningless to find meaning in Him, to find value, to find purpose. He says elsewhere in Ecclesiastes that chasing the stuff of this world is like chasing the wind. That'd be a fun game, right? All right, after church today, we're going to go wind chasing. Who's in? You catch your wind and you bring it back, and we'll weigh it, and we'll see how much you have, and I'll weigh mine. We'll declare a winner. I have a feeling it would be a tie all the way around. Right? Yeah, it'd be all zero all the way around. You just can't weigh it. You can't find it. Oh, I think it's going to blow that way. Nobody knows. So Solomon says, when we're chasing the meaningless things of the world, it's like chasing the wind. What a waste of time. What a waste of my time to enjoy my labor or my life or my Lord. We would be better served than to pursue and to enjoy the one who's given us life, breath, physical breath, but the one also who's wakened us spiritually. And so he says here, we are to enjoy the Lord, the one who has given us our lot, our days under the sun. I'm glad this is Family Sunday, because Solomon really wants young people to understand this. He wants youth to grasp the idea of what he's trying to tell them, because you want stuff, right? I know we're in church. You can be honest. You want stuff. Want the latest phone. I'd really like a nice, cool car. I want a guy or girl who likes me in return one of these days. You know, we want the nice stuff. Clothes, you name it. And so here's what he says. Ecclesiastes 12:1. He says, remember your Creator when? In the days of your youth. Remember there is a God. Today, the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Solomon's saying, I'm the wisest man on the planet. I have spent days, weeks, months without sleep trying to understand how God works. And what I've found is everything under the sun is meaningless apart from God. So know that today. Learn that lesson from Solomon. Rather than pursuing the world, investing 20, 30, 40 years of your life in things of the world and ending up empty, bankrupt. I don't mean you're broke. You could have a great big house and a lot of money and a lot of people who think you're awesome, but you'll be discontent, I promise you, if you have no God. Everything under the sun, he says, is meaningless. So remember this in your youth. Don't get in that position when the years of trouble come and you say, I just have no pleasure in my life. Remember the Lord. Remember who He is. Remember what He's done for you. Remember what He wants to do in you. Remember what He wants to do through you. Look for Him. Love Him. And then live for Him. And live with all you've got. And the truth of the matter is, that's good for all of us here today. It's good for the youth because it's just good advice. You're heading out, and some of you are going to be moving out before too long. How are you going to live? What's going to govern how you live? What's going to govern why you're working? What's going to govern what you're doing with your money? What's going to govern what you commit to? Where are you going to find your contentment, your satisfaction? If it's under the sun, you're always going to be dissatisfied. And so He gives us some advice for all of us here at the closing of that little book. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Here's what I have found. Everything under the sun is meaningless. I've searched everything, and this is the conclusion. Now all has been heard. There's nothing more to say. And here's the conclusion of the matter. Here's what really matters. He says, fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. So what's it mean to fear God? Does it mean to look at God like He's this scary monster? Does it mean to look at God like we're the grasshopper and He's the giant? And He's just waiting to find us in our sin so He can just crush us to death? No, some people have that view of God. They think that He's out to get them. God doesn't work that way. To fear God means we have a respect for God. We have a reverence for God. That we're in awe of who He is, that we are learning of God, that we really do love Him. We want to honor Him. We want to seek to live our life for Him. In the context of our message today, Solomon is saying, find your contentment in your Lord. Find your contentment in living your life to honor Him. Find your contentment in serving Him. What does Solomon say here about our work? He says, this is the duty of all mankind. Fear God and keep the commandments. It goes well with you. I was talking yesterday with Miss Golding, and she was giving some advice to her graduating grandson. And she said, son, it's really not hard. I said, it's not hard. Love God, live your life here the way God has purposed. It's not hard, the concept. Now, it'll be hard to live that out day in and day out. But we make it complicated. We think we got to chase this and get this and have this. And we got fingers involved in all sorts of things, overcommitted, overspent. And we wonder why we're not satisfied. Fear God, keep His commandments. That's it. And you will find, as you live your life here, this joy, this contentedness. Peter says, I believe it's in 1 Peter, that we love the one that we've never seen. We love Him today. Have we seen Jesus? We've never seen Jesus, but we love Him. And He says, those who love Him are filled with an inexpressible joy. We've been built to enjoy Jesus. We've been built to enjoy His presence in our life, His Word, His work. And we follow that, there is great contentedness. When we pursue Him, there is a deep satisfaction. And we started off by saying Ecclesiastes was much about the empty search for contentment in all things meaningless. What gives meaning to everything under the sun is when you and I have a relationship with God through His Son. And that gives some purpose to my money. Now I've got a reason for the green. And so I bring it today and I put it in an offering plate because I want to try to reach out and minister to the people around us. Right? So I don't hoard it. I don't keep it. I say, no, I'm going to invest this in eternal things. And so I've been blessed. I've been able to work. And so I have some green. I can put it in the plate because I just want to see people's lives impacted by God. When we have this relationship with God, then it makes everything under the sun have value, have purpose, have significance. And so He says, enjoy your life, enjoy your labor, and enjoy your Lord. And so this morning, I just want you to think about for a minute, are all three of those true for you? I mean, currently, as you sit here, are you enjoying your life? Or are we letting our circumstances kind of dictate what's going on within? here again, if I'm chasing the things of the world, then I'm bankrupt with them. But if I'm chasing Jesus, he's the rock. He never changes. Hebrews 6 tells us he's that anchor, right? He's the anchor for my soul. He's firm and he's secure, and so I can trust in him. So are you enjoying your life? Are you enjoying your life as a student? Are you enjoying your life currently as a child? Are you enjoying your life as a parent, as a grandparent? Are you enjoying your life as a spouse? Are you enjoying your life as part of this family, this community here? Are you enjoying your labor? Or do you look at it and, I just can't stand my job. I wish this has got to change. I'm not saying we can't pray for change. I'm not saying we can't ask God to open the next door. I'm just saying we need to enjoy today because this is where he has me. Then are you enjoying your Lord? And you find gladness when you read the scriptures? Or do you read the Bible and go, this is just dumb? You find joy when you gather with God's people, even when we come in here broken, even when we need to confess our sin to one another, even when we need restoration, can you still come here and go, man, this is my family? Are you enjoying all the blessings of the Lord in your life? We sung about it this morning. He's given me 10,000 reasons. If I've got 10,000 reasons, it seems like I'd never frown. I've got every reason to be joyful. Joyful doesn't necessarily mean that I'm always happy. It means there's a contentedness deep within me that this world can't rob. Jesus told us nothing can touch our joy that's seated in him. So how is it with you? Are you enjoying Jesus? Do you have that relationship? Maybe today you've never asked Jesus to save you from your sins. Maybe you've never asked Jesus to really give you life. And Jesus would love nothing more than today to save you. See, all of us are sinners in need of his saving. And the Bible teaches that if we will humble ourselves and repent of our sins, he'll forgive us. Listen, Jesus didn't die just to save us, and I don't minimize that. Jesus died also to give us life today. Right? It's not, there's the light at the end of this tunnel, which is heaven. It's there's light in the tunnel, and it's right now today. His name is Jesus. And he'll walk through us, or with us through the struggle. That's what gives me joy in my life. It's never the stuff. The stuff works, and then some days it breaks. People love, and some days they hate. Life's going good, and some days life stinks. Are you enjoying Jesus? Are you enjoying your Lord?